like that. He's a weirdo. Don't tell me it was Marilyn Monroe. Shut up! Yay!
Yeah. Here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton himself, Uncle Ira, the king of Pasco County. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here, and the man of the hour, he is sitting in his cherry red Ford Escape. That's where he lives. He's got his coffee. He is ready to roll. Ira, we got a lot on the plate today, presented as always by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for 60 plus years. You bought your first car there, Ira, the day they open.
You know, I'm going to be a Bill Curry customer until the day they lower me in the ground and DeKemper sprinkles rose petals over me. I'm going to be a Bill Curry customer. They do it right, Steve. Their incentives are unbelievable. They're year-round. They don't wait till holidays to give you these unbelievable offers. They got a great inventory. Service department's fantastic. The salesmen, they're not all over you because they know they got a great product. And once you go to Bill Curry Ford, I think they got you forever.
I read, since you mentioned your demise, do you think at your life celebration, I should put together a montage of your podcast one-liners and just, you know, maybe a 20-minute montage and play it on a loop?
You know, I've been thinking about that, Steve. First of all, they better be a big funeral hall because there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be a lot of people there. Isbitz, when you croak, you know, we can do it in a closet. But when I go, it's going to be big, you know, maybe rent a hall. I want Joel Glazer saying a few words. Oh, yeah. Oh. I want Eddie DeBartolo to say a few words. I want the big shots. I want Dick Stockton to MC the whole thing. How do you like that? But why are we talking about such a morbid subject, Steve?
You brought it up, Ira. Well, hopefully you live a very long life and everybody, all these people you think are coming will be dead at the same time. So we're going to wish you the best. Ira, we got to get to some football right here because the rumor mill, the hot stove talk, whatever you want to call it, the BS is flying all over town. People are starting to get excited. Mike Florio is starting to get excited. Larry Fitzgerald at 38 years old, which he will turn in August, coming to the Bucks. What the hell's going on here?
Steve, obviously that presumes that, you know, Antonio Brown's gone. Let's not even discuss bringing him here if Brown's still here. You know, Lee, we don't want Jurassic Park over here. I mean, come on. The ugly truth, Lee, the bitter truth is Larry Fitzgerald's not very effective anymore. He's not. Lee, I'll be the first to say he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. And I don't say that about a lot of the modern day receivers because their numbers are inflated, possibly even including a Mike Evans. So, but Larry Fitzgerald to me is different. I still remember the second half of that Super Bowl against the Steelers. Pittsburgh had a hell of a defense. Kurt Warner to Fitzgerald, unstoppable in the second half. They win that game if Roethlisberger doesn't make that unbelievable throw in the right corner at Ray J. Great Super Bowl. But Fitzgerald was absolutely spectacular with the game on the line. But he hasn't done much. I mean, let's be honest, in the last 3 years. He just hasn't. Playing with Brady, you know, it's not like the guy's going to catch 65 balls. He comes in, he's no better than the number three, but they haven't said it. If the guy's willing to play to the minimum, you know, just for a chance to win a ring, I don't see the harm in it. You know, I think he can teach Godwin a few tricks, Scotty Miller a few tricks, and most importantly, Tyler Johnson. So I'm not dead set against it, Lee, but Brown's got to go if that happens, and he's got to come for the minimum. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, if Brown's still here, yeah, I wouldn't do that, no, because if you do that, you know, obviously the odd guy out would be Justin Watson. And normally anybody with a piece of a brain would say, so what? You know, Larry Fitzgerald, Justin Watson, come on. But Justin Watson, you know, when he is active, he's one of the better Bucks players when it comes to special teams. And I do remember some years ago an NFL suit telling me, if you're not a quarterback and you don't start, you better play special teams or you're the first guy cut. And so I don't, you know, Brown plays very limited special teams. Fitz plays very little special teams. So if you're going to get rid of a guy like Justin Watson, who plays a lot of special teams and plays it well, you know, who's going to get there? I mean, I know a lot of people are saying, you know, you're out of your mind, but seriously, that is a key element. Unfortunately, and I think I'm so freaking focused on the Bucks. Even when I do watch other teams, I watch it for enjoyment. I don't necessarily break down players and try to see, could this guy fit in with the Bucks? That drives me nuts about college basketball. People watch college basketball. Well, I think this guy could play for the Knicks, or this guy could play for this Portland Trailer, but who gives a shit? Just watch the game and enjoy it, you know? Are you a Russell scout? So it had to be with Tom Brown.
Steve, I'll say this. I have dealt with Larry Fitzgerald on several occasions. One time he came to a camp. I forgot which Buck was involved, but he showed up. I think Revis was there that day. He's a tremendous guy. He has fantastic character, classy. You can't find anybody to say anything bad about Larry Fitzgerald. Can't do it. So, Steve, in that regard, you know, as opposed to somebody else maybe at the end of their career coming in and maybe not getting enough catches that he thinks he should get, I would not be worried at all about Fitzgerald being a distraction. I think that's a non-factor. I want to clear that up. But in terms of his production, Steve, I don't think he adds much to the mix.
Well, there's a few layers to what you guys said. And first, on the special teams front, it's a little bit interesting because if the Bucks don't bring back Fournette and they don't bring back LeSean McCoy, they probably replace both of those guys with running backs who actually play special teams. So there's sort of a give and take there. But as far as Fitzgerald, you know, people are saying, oh, he fits the Bucks offense. Chris Godwin, who plays the Fitzgerald role, the reason that he fits so well is because Godwin blocks like a maniac. He's the next Hines Ward out there, and his blocking in the run game is tremendous. Even with one hand, the guy was blocking last year. Fitzgerald is not going to come in here to block, which sort of means that he's not going to fill that role anymore, and then he's outside where he's not as good. I just see it as a bad gamble, but he has been incredibly durable. He missed games with the virus last year, but so he is durable. He certainly would add a lot, but when you hear about how much Antonio Brown rubbed off on these receivers and the defensive players and Devin White saying that he, you know, watching Brown raised his whole game and his attitude toward a work ethic. You know, I don't know. It just seems like a 38 for a receiver. Come on.
Was Rice 41 when he played for Seattle?
Yeah, he broke 40. Yeah, he broke 40.
But, I mean, that's very rare. You don't see that very often.
If Brown leaves, I got a guy. Now, he's 35, which is like the fountain of youth compared to Larry Fitzgerald. I got a name, gentlemen. I'm throwing it in tomorrow's column. I'm giving you a sneak preview. You might be able to guess it. He's got a history with Brady in Foxborough.
Amendola.
He's available. Now, he does play the slot, so Steve's right. You know, if Godwin's healthy, you don't know what you're going to get out of the guy. But, you know, the guy's got sure hands, and he's a good route runner. And I think he'd be a little more productive than Fitzgerald. I love Fitzgerald, but I think it's the end of the line. I think it's time to, you know, Arizona doesn't want him anymore, Lee. They don't want him anymore.
Yeah, and it says a lot.
Next stop, Canton, Steve. Next stop, Canton.
Sage, speaking of next stop, April 29th, Thursday night, Joe Bucks Fan Draft Party, our annual NFL draft party that got sidelined last year because of COVID, is at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, 12707 49th Street North. That's where you were all season, Ira. A lot of fun. Beautiful 3,000 square foot outdoor area. Indoor tap room as well. Great sound. Modern. Just an awesome place. But here's the deal, Ira. More details are coming out, but we are going to get started. We're inviting everybody out at 7 p.m. for draft night. This is an all-night affair, and we are having a special event from 7 till about 8:15, maybe 7:15 to 8:15. Those details are forthcoming. And then, of course, the draft will roll on. Maybe the Bucks will pick around midnight at number 32. Who knows? They're all in. Maybe they'll trade up and pick number 25 and pick around 11 o'clock. So all the fun, you know how much fun this is. Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater. It's Florida's best craft beer. There are going to be food specials. There are every day. We've got giveaways. We've got special guests. People who've been to the draft party with us in the past know it's always a blast. I'm not worried about people coming out, but make your plans. Circle the date. Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater. And of course, enjoy Big Storm all the time. Big Storm Pasco in Odessa, Big Storm Cape Coral, and Big Storm now in Orlando at Amway Center. There you go, Sage. Ira, you know, of course, I was combing the earth for Buccaneers news and notes, and I decided to break out earlier today an interview that I heard a while ago with Thad Lewis, who was a journeyman quarterback. He played for Duke, a real sharp guy. And Arians, the story goes that I learned from this podcast, Arians brought him in as an intern, one of these coaching minority coaching internships, and they liked him. They signed him right away. They made him a coaching intern last year. And then when Antoine Randle L left, they promoted him to assistant wide receivers coach. But it turns out Thad Lewis, it's kind of interesting because he spent all year, the entire season, in the quarterback's room, just watching Brady and being another set of eyes and the whole thing. So Lewis reveals in this podcast, they were asking him, of course, about Brady, and he had a lot of different things to say. I didn't write everything up yet. But he talked about how Brady gets on the coaches for eating junk food. So I don't know if you want to meet Brady, Ira. I don't know if that'll go too well.
Well, we could go to next door to Panera Bread. Maybe I could have a multi-grain sandwich with vegetables in it. You know, that is unbelievable. Steve, number one, Lee, Thad Lewis? I mean, that's above and beyond.
It was a Duke podcast.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a Duke podcast. But Ira, in more serious vein, he gets on the coaches. He doesn't believe in ice. Tom Brady doesn't use ice. No such thing as the cold tub for Tom Brady. Doesn't go in the cryo chamber that Team Glazer spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on. Doesn't believe in it. He's demanding that he gets more realistic warm-ups before games. And all this stuff that is just way over the top. And he doesn't use any weights, doesn't go in the weight room. I mean, it's just a fascinating situation that they have there, that the whole team, again, these Brady stories come out. Everybody's learning from the guy.
You're right, Steve. If it was anybody else, you'd say, Jesus, this guy's eccentric. Lee, we throw around the word idiosyncrasies. He's a weirdo. He goes against the grain of, you know, sports science. But Lee, it's Tom Brady. And like you said a couple of weeks ago, and I think you surprised yourself when you said it, I'm 100% behind Tom Brady. I don't care what he does. He's right. And I support him every step of the way. Lee, I hope I'm not misquoting you, but I think you're fully on board with number 12. How can you not be? And, you know, and that's where Buck Nation is. I don't care how weird it sounds. I don't care if he goes in the tub. I don't care if he doesn't like ice. I don't care if he doesn't hit the weight room. Lee, whatever he's doing, it's working to a historical degree. So how can a couple of schlubs like you and I argue?
Yeah, he single-handedly has changed the Bucs organization. He really has. Like you said, how can you make fun of what he does? It gets results. You know, the guy is something else. He's almost like he's not mortal, like he's a Martian or something, like an alien.
On the alien front, in all seriousness, so again, keep in mind, Thad Lewis, not exactly a guy high on anybody's radar among football fans in 2020. And Lewis tells a story that when Brady first sees him in a meeting room, he says, "Hey, man, how was I throwing the football in the rain that day in Atlanta?" Sorry, it wasn't Atlanta. But he said, "How was I throwing that ball in the rain on that day?" And Lewis looks at him like, how the hell do you remember playing against me in one of my few starts? And how do you remember that it was raining? And he said Brady was literally looking for feedback on what Lewis remembered about him throwing in the rain in case Brady had a rain game coming up. He always likes to get feedback on unique situations. What? It was 10 years ago.
Steve, we've never seen anybody like him. And who knows if we ever will again. I mean, this guy could play 25 years at the quarterback position. 25. And he could end up, you know, with 9 rings and be in 12 or 13 Super Bowls. We're never going to see this, Lee. It's never going to happen. You know, Chamberlain's 100-point game. That's not going to happen. I think the next best is 81. Well, 81 ain't 100. And we're never going to see anybody like this guy, Lee.
These stories I hear about Brady, It reminds me of stories I heard old-timers talk about with Ted Williams. Ted Williams was famously obsessed, like over-the-top obsessed with hitting. Every day of the offseason, he was doing something to try to better himself as a hitter. He was completely obsessed by it. And I do mean the word obsessed, the true definition of it. And that's what Brady sounds like. I mean, I heard Bob Gibson tell a story about he was at some function with Ted Williams. You know, they're both old men at the time. Gibson said something along the lines of, man, I wish I would have played against you just to see how I could have done. Williams, oh, you did. And he's, what are you talking about? And Williams started breaking down an at-bat he had against Gibson in spring training in 1959. And Gibson looked at him like, how do you remember this? Wow. Wow.
I know you had fabulous. That was right in your dating prime back in 59. You probably went to that game with a woman on your arm. One thing I want to know if you buy into this stuff. I don't know if I really buy it, but it's unprecedented territory in some ways. In some ways, it's sort of year two for it based on what the Chiefs accomplished in the previous Super Bowl. Bill Polian was talking about how, you know what, this year is going to benefit the Bucks because players aren't going to be partying as much. They're not going to be keeping the celebration going with endorsements and showing up at corporate events and going on this cruise and this and that. Because of COVID, it's all more tame. And the number one thing you need after a huge Super Bowl run is rest and perspective and all the stuff that comes with not having a blast for 2-3 months. And I remember some of the Chiefs talking about how they thought COVID appearing was kind of a good thing for them to take a break from their whirlwind of post-Super Bowl fun. And Polian insists that this is going to just help the Bucks immensely. I don't know if I buy it, but what do you guys think?
I think there's something to it, Lee. You know, in this respect, unless things change markedly in the next month or two, we don't know about OTAs around the league. We don't know the extent of it, the status of it. Are they going to suspend it again? So, Lee, in that respect, I think anything that kind of makes it a even playing field for the defending Super Bowl champs, because, you know, we don't know if OTAs began in earnest at a normal time. We don't know how many Bucks would attend. Lee, we don't know what kind of shape they'd be in. And I'm all for anything that's kind of evening the field, Lee. I think that would favor the Bucks with this shortened offseason.
Sure. I think Polian's on to something, because I have always believed one reason you didn't see so many teams repeating, and a lot of teams don't even make it back to the Super Bowl. Forget repeating. They don't even make it back. I've always believed it's the wear and tear on the bodies. 3 extra 4 games in the season that they're playing. And it takes their body longer to recover.
Sage, are the Bucks done on defense? We know that now that Sue, it's not yet 100% official, but they've got the entire starting defense back. They've even got Nunez Roches back. Their depth at cornerback is there. Ross Cockrell is still out there, but I don't think he's a huge loss if they do, in fact, lose him. The whole defense is back. We know it was top 10 really through the whole season. I think they finished top 6. Are they done on defense? And do you think they're going to lean that direction in the draft?
I think they're in very good shape as we sit here in late March. Now, you guys had quite a headline on one of your stories today that I don't think should be easily dismissed. You mentioned a guy named Ryan Kerrigan, you know, longtime player for Washington. And I think he's a well-respected player in this league. He's not what he was at 25, but Lee has brought up depth on the edge. You know, as long as Shaq and JPP are going strong, it's just a guy that, you know, can play 12 snaps. But if one of those guys go down, they don't have anybody that's proven, with all respect to the Nelsons of the world. They don't. Kerrigan could come cheap. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. Are they done? I don't think they're necessarily done, Steve. I think if they can find a guy that wants to play for a ring, maybe a Larry Fitzgerald type on the defensive side, like a Kerrigan, they may not necessarily be done, nor should they be. But, Lee, as we stand right now, this is a very formidable-looking defense.
Oh, yeah, and I can't remember who I heard it from, someone on NFL radio. The defense, like the offense, you know, the offense always gets all the attention because Brady, but the defense, like the offense, caught fire late in the season and into the playoffs. Now, they didn't have the greatest of games when they faced that backup XFL quarterback. But other than that, I mean, look what they did. They did a hell of a job. I mean, they won the game against the Packers. You know, Brady throws those three picks. The offense, after the, you know, in the fourth quarter, the offense went into hibernation until the last drive. Now, obviously, what they did in the Super Bowl was, you know, tremendous. So, yeah, the defense really did well last year. So that's a great sign. Yeah, I was the one that came up with Kerrigan, and that, you know, that's absolutely strictly speculation. I was trying to think of a guy that's maybe on his last legs that used to be a top shelf pass rusher that might be looking to chase the ring, might come cheap, and Kerrigan was one of those guys. And it looks like his days in Washington are over. A designated pass rusher just to come in on passing down, something like that. And if God forbid Shaq got hurt, JPP got hurt, this guy could be a starter. Because nothing against Anthony Nelson, I'm just not comfortable with him being that guy. Meaning, you know, come off the bench every game for a dozen plays or so, rush the passer. He seems to be okay, but he seems to be like a William Golston. You know, someone that he's not a sack guy. Maybe I'm totally wrong about Nelson, but he just seems like a nice backup and nothing more.
And Lee talked about last year, Clay Matthews, who pretty much just threw in the towel on the season last year between COVID, and he just decided, I'm out, I'm going to get healthy, and supposedly he still wants to play. He's an interesting piece and somebody who would probably definitely have to play for the veteran minimum and some incentives.
I would like to add a third edge rusher because, you know, that's an injury in terms of one of those two starters that I think would be devastating. A serious injury would be devastating. Hey, let's face it, you know, in games that JPP doesn't play, you know, the pass rush suffers. It suffers. And, you know, Shaq hasn't missed many games, but that's an area where I think depth is essential. Steve, they got more depth on the interior defensive line than they do on the edges. I don't think anybody could argue about that.
Yeah, good chance that they'll keep the love affair going with Anthony Nelson. He played, I just looked it up, 30% of the defensive snaps last year for an elite front seven. So, you know, maybe they want to turn him loose a little bit, but hopefully the guys will stay healthy. That 17th game, though, Ira, it scares me. To me, it means you got to go get that number one seed. It's there for the taking for the Bucks in a division that's going to be a lot weaker, and get that extra week off. Sage, you know very well the danger of having a flood or mold in your home. It has to be attacked quickly, and that's why you have to call Florida's Elite Restoration right away. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are a licensed mold remediation specialist, not just some guy who does mold. This is a company that knows all the ins and outs, and they're going to help you 24/7 if you need it with a free assessment. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Put it in your favorites, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You need somebody in those situations who you can trust when you come home and you got water under the sink and it's a disaster that's been lurking for 3-4 days and you just realized it. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Great local company. We know them well. We trust them. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, fans, sort of a breaking news alert right here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, which is really strange for a podcast because it's not live. However, we recorded this last night, late Thursday night, and I edit the podcast, and I was just about to post it just before noon on Friday, and here I am, Leonard Fournette was signed. Huge, huge news. So I'm jumping into this to give a quick update on that because later in the podcast, we were going to talk about a poll for Bucks fans that was about to go up on joebucksfan.com asking them what position they want the Bucks to target with the number 32 overall pick. And Ira, Lee, and I, we discussed sort of what we thought Bucks fans would say, but I'm going to take that part of the podcast out now because the answers are skewed because Leonard Fournette is definitely back. And of course, we were thinking that many fans would be looking at running back for their preference with the Bucks' first round pick. But we'll hit that later. I'm going to run the poll later this weekend after the Fournette signing sinks in. And then Ira and I and Lee can talk about what the fans had to say about the poll and what we think about it. So, but this is really exciting. Leonard Fournette is back. The Buccaneers, as I've written a million times, and I don't think you've seen this stat on any other website or anywhere, the Buccaneers were a perfect 8-0 last season when Fournette had 10 or more carries. It is not a coincidence. His hands got a little better as the season went on. Remember, he missed training camp. So I'm going to call that part of the whole chemistry thing with Tom Brady. He's a first-round talent. His attitude improved. And obviously, they trust him at this point. It's exciting as hell. What a 1-2 punch. Ronald Jones in a contract year. Leonard Fournette probably in a contract year, steaming with confidence. He knows he's going to be the third down back in addition to getting his share of carries. What a backfield. The Buccaneers have now brought back their entire starting lineup, however you want to look at it. First time since 1979 that a Super Bowl team has done that. The Bucs put out that stat today. When it comes to 1979, that's Ira's expertise. We'll hit it up with the Sage on the next podcast. But a rare breaking news alert here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I appreciate you sticking with me. We're going to go right back to Ira now. And thanks to all of you, really, again, who enjoy this podcast. Thousands and thousands and thousands. We keep growing. People have come back to the podcast. There are new Bucks fans, people coming back to the Bucks. And it's really exciting stuff. So thanks again. Here's Ira. You know, we never asked you guys on the podcast, what do you think of the 17th game, irrespective of the preseason loss games, the 17th game added to the schedule?
It should be 18.
It's going to be 18, Lee. It's going to be 18.
Yeah, eventually. And having said that, the reason why I want the 18, outside of very, very selfish reasons, selfish as an NFL owner, I like football, damn it. So more football is not a bad thing. But, if you know, obviously the players will scream and whine. And my carrot on the stick is, and it's a pet peeve of mine, absolute pet peeve, and it was proven this past year, we're going to do 18 games, guys. But to help you out, no preseason. Preseason is not needed. Preseason, we just proved it this year. Preseason is not needed. It's just not. Those preseason games are a joke. I'm not saying get rid of training camp. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying get rid of preseason. It's a slap in the face to everybody involved. Slap. I mean, and just from a business standpoint, it just blows my mind how you can be that reckless with that large of investments that you have. Your players are investments. Your quarterback, your wide receiver, defensive end, the pass rusher. Those are major investments. And why you would put those guys at risk like that, major investments. For nothing. I mean, literally nothing. I never understood it. And I don't think I ever will understand.
You know, Steve, we had a test case in the summer of 2020, and no games, and the sky didn't fall. And Buck fans have not exactly complaining about how the 2020 season panned out. Yeah. So nothing calamitous happened, Steve, without a preseason.
So how do you feel about the 17th game, Ira? Are you saying it should be 18, or are you just agreeing with Lee that it's going to 18?
It is a rest stop on the way to 18. I think that's the way they're going to do it. They may go to two preseason games, Lee. I don't think they're going to get rid of it as much as you and I might want them to. I think 18-2 is the way that they're going to do it and keep that 20-game schedule. But who the heck needs four preseason games, if any? I guess, Steve, the Bucks will have that extra game. Will be on the road, I believe, this fall.
Yeah, it's supposed it's unofficial yet. It's supposed to be at Indianapolis based on the formula that Peter King threw out there, so the Bucks would be 9 on the road, 8 at home.
That's not a bad thing, considering they went 6-2 on the road and then won 3 road playoff games. I don't think the Bucks are intimidated by an extra game on the road.
Well, as it stands with the preseason, I think it's going to be around quite a bit because it was just negotiated into all of those TV contracts for the next dozen years. I guess I'm the other guy out there on the wrong end of the scale. I just enjoy the preseason, and the teams are under no obligation to play their stars. So you know what? I think it's great for the young guys, and the union should want it. They should even demand it to help these younger guys get a shot. And you know what? If they get hurt in the game, well, then they just start their UPS job a little bit later, and they cash in on their medical insurance policies that they all have for preseason. So I don't think they're so bad.
Well, Steve, by the fourth exhibition game, preseason game, whatever you want to call it. They don't want to call it exhibition, by the way. By the fourth game, when nobody plays except the guys on the bubble, the fans could care absolutely less. And their attitude is bring on the regular season. Tremendous apathy as the preseason goes on.
Ira, Chris Sims, he's been arguing that the Bucks don't need Antonio Brown because Scotty Miller is a better deep threat and he's got a ton of talent and now he's got experience as well and has proven to be somebody you can count on. And he also is a fan of Tyler Johnson and says that Brown is just a luxury piece at this point. It's not like it was last year and the Bucks aren't going to offer him a nickel over whatever they think he's worth, which probably isn't that much. What do you think of that?
This Brown thing, maybe we talk too much about it, Lee. I mean, he's just an extra piece. He's an extra guy. Now, look, he made some big catches in January. He came on a little bit. But I'm with Sims on this one, and I'm not often with Chris Sims. Not often. I think he comes up with a couple of harebrained. Remember when he had Drew Brees is the number 15 quarterback or something like that. Something crazy. And Orlovsky is like this. Another former boss. He does a little Skip Bayless on us sometimes and tries to be outrageous just for the sake of being outrageous. And I don't think he believes half the things he's saying, Orlovsky, and I don't respect that when you just say it for effect. But I'm with Chris Sims here. I've made the point on this podcast, Lee, you disagree a little bit on Tyler Johnson. You think he's more developmental and a team that's going for it. You don't want to hear about developmental. I think he's ready to step up and be a number three or number four. I'm not putting him in the class of Evans and Godwin. Hell no. But I think he's going to get better because the Bucks are doing a good job of developing their young talent. And I think he has talent. So I think they'll develop him. I got no problem with Scotty Miller. For me, Lee, I will drive Brown to the airport if he wants to go to Cincinnati. I'll drive.
I'm not anti-Tyler Johnson at all. I think he can be a good wide receiver. I just don't know if I'm ready to say, you know what, you're a starter now. You're going to take Antonio Brown's place. Don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. He may be. If Brown doesn't come back and you want him to replace Brown, then that's saying, okay, he's ready to go. I don't know if he's ready to go. I think he can be that kind of receiver at some point, but I just don't know if that some point is 2021.
What about Miller?
Miller is a one-trick pony, and he's very good at it. Beeline, run past the cornerback. I know sometimes they have some short routes for him to run. He does okay. But his main thing is stretch the field. And I'd hate to put that guy over the middle. He'd get killed. He's a little dude. You know that, Ira. You've seen him. You stood next to him. He's a little guy. Where Tyler Johnson, he has big catches over the middle.
Something about Antonio Brown bugs me a little bit, Steve. I'm still not convinced he's turned this character corner. I'm not convinced. And, you know, he's not out of the woods legally. I don't know. I don't want potential problems, and he could be a potential problem.
Absolutely. You know, and you never know. I worry about Brown right now, at least from the standpoint of if he ends up taking a low ball offer from the Bucks because that's what's available to him, maybe he just comes in pissed off knowing that you're paying me three and I'm worth at least nine. And maybe he gets all, you know, pissed off about it or that festers for a while. I don't know. I mean, I don't know Antonio Brown, but I think it's reasonable considering how much money the guy's made in his career that maybe, you know, his market value, which is his own fault, might, you know, get him to start pulling some stunts or stuff. So I feel like the Bucks already hit the lottery with him. Don't buy another ticket. That's just the way I look at it. All right, Sage. Now I wanted to talk about one of your old friends, and I know you went to high school with him, but first I want to remind everybody that Bill Curry Ford is the only place, as Ira said, the only place Ira's ever going to buy a vehicle again or recommend anyone ever again, but it's a Tampa tradition for 60 years. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up. He's ready for you this weekend. BillCurryFord.com. So many great March offers are expiring at the end of the month. And reach out to Sean directly. He will help you personally. He'll make it happen. BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean's email there on the staff list as you shop all the fantastic values. And remember their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Ira, I wanted to let you know on the smaller Podbean app, which is one of the many podcast apps out there that people listen on. They're one of the few, really the only one that shows subscribers to everybody. And you're just about at 600, Ira. So hopefully somebody can subscribe to the podcast, get a free alert, and make it number 600. That's by far the most of any Bucks podcast, even a triple. Your pal Rick Stroud from the Times. I don't know how that happens, Ira. It's a milestone, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about it at the next podcast that you hit it.
You know, Steve, to me, 600, it's just a pit stop. Just a pit stop, gentlemen, on the way to quadruple figures. I will not stop until I hit the 1,000 mark, and I don't think I'll stop even then, Steve. So whoever's number 600 should get a free Cuban at Big Storm, Steve. Let's see if we can work that out.
And, of course, those 600, Ira, that's just a pimple on the ass of your listenership. It's a lot more than that. Many, many more than that on Apple and Google Podcasts and so many other platforms where people can subscribe free. Sage, Donovan Smith hit the media today, and not very exciting. Didn't think it would be, and I really didn't think there was much that he said out of his news conference. But he was on radio talking about how, very simply, and it was something we talked about when Joe Gilbert said it back in December. You know, the question was, hey, you really turned it on, Donovan. You know, you put your foot on the pedal and just stormed right through the playoffs in the Super Bowl. And Donovan Smith very casually simply just said, well, you know, anybody who's really watching knows I changed my stance on pass blocking this season. And it took me time to work through it. Once I got comfortable, that was it. You saw what happened. End of story. So what a celebration of coaching that answer is by Donovan Smith.
Well, he didn't have it perfected in week 9 against Trey Hendrickson. I'll say that.
No.
However, he was wonderful down the stretch. He probably played as well as Tristan Wirfs in January. And for me, that's saying a lot, even though Wirfs is a rookie. Because we know what all three of us think about Wirfs. And I think Smith was equally as strong playing a more prominent critical position on Brady's blind side. Steve, this thing about Joe Gilbert, the different stance, a technique, it's all part of one package, Steve. And it's something we really haven't talked about until this year, maybe a little bit last year. But the development of players, the coaching, I was as guilty as anybody, Lee. And I said, this guy, Ronald Jones is of the world, and the Carlton Davis is of the world, and these draft picks don't look that good, and I don't know if this guy's going to pan out, and Alex Kappa. You know, after all these years, I should have known. You know, coaching matters. Assistant coaching matters, not just the coordinator. The guy that works hand-in-hand with each position group, that guy matters. All of a sudden, this year, we've talked a lot about on this podcast development. Lee, and it's one of the things we were slamming this organization about for all of these years, Lee. Things have really changed on that front.
Yeah, because the guys are being developed. Guys are getting coached. And just think about it as sort of a different universe, sort of. You know, we all knew that when Cutter was fired, that Jason Light, you know, just objectively speaking, you know, you have to think that the Glazer family was, you know, thought more than a couple of minutes about, well, do we have the right general manager? Because the team was losing and losing and losing, even with, you know, a different coaching staff. And they stick with Light, obviously to their credit, and Light brings in a coach who believes in development. But all of a sudden, poof, you look like a genius almost overnight. That, you know, Light and his staff had an idea what they were doing, and it just took coaching staff to develop. Just think of a different universe, how, you know, maybe the Bucks don't even win a Super Bowl if the Glazers would have said out of hell that we're going to get a new GM.
You're right, Lee. You're mm-hmm. right. I mean,
you know, how many careers would have been different now and in the future had the Glazers made that decision, pulled that trigger. Just how different everything would have been for quite a lot of people, not just for Jason Light, for a lot of assistant coaches right now with the Bucks, who are probably going to be head coaches down the road, in part because they won a Super Bowl, because they have a ring. And same thing with the players. Some of these players, because they won a ring, they may get a contract 5, 6, 7 years down the road. Oh, wow, you're on the championship team. I want you. I'm going to pay you more money only because you know how to win a Super Bowl. I mean, how that one decision with the Glazers changed everything. And maybe we don't give the Glazers enough credit for actually noticing that. Like, Jason, we think you're picking the right players. It's just the coaches. Now, you could argue, well, who's picking the coaches? Light has a hand in that. But maybe we should be giving the Glazers credit. Not a lot of people do give the Glazers credit for their football acumen. We just think they know how to make money, and that's all they do.
But Lee, one theory would have the Glazers, after the 2018 season, they hopped on the private plane. They went to Barbados and said, we're sick of this. Jason, just do whatever the hell you want. This is not working. That could be. It could be what happened.
Yeah. You know, Steve, the way you could look at it, and I think this is fair, Arians doesn't come without Light, and Brady doesn't come without Arians. And I don't think we need to get more complicated than that. So in that respect, the decision to retain Light, and I'm not going to run away from this, a guy that I said 2 years ago should be shown the door based on his record. And, you know, 2 years later, that Kaufman column doesn't look that good. It wasn't a sage column.
Maybe I'll tweet that out tonight.
And it's something that Light never lets me forget in our conversations, Lee. Oh, am I talking to the guy that tried to run me out of town? But he says it in a lighthearted manner, and you can laugh about it after you've hoisted the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, it sure changed his life.
Ira, I know this is a sore subject for you, so I'll tread very gently, but it is important. It is a little piece of history, and I know that you're all about history now at your advanced age. So let me bring this up here, and I know, again, I know it's very sensitive for you. Years ago, Dick Stockton, the famous broadcaster, he stole Leslie Visser from you. He married her, broke your heart, and it may have been one of his great accomplishments of his career. But the storied broadcaster that tortured Bucks fans in the last decade because he always seemed to be assigned to their games on Fox, and he was just had lost his fastball 15 years ago. So he was awful announcer, Dick Stockton, but he was a legend in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, NBA, baseball, you name it. An amazing career. He has retired. So your old high school buddy, Dick Stockton, stole your girl, Leslie Visser. He's done. What do you want to say about his career, Ira?
Well, I'm surprised he's not the guy that said, Havlicek stole the ball. Havlicek stole the ball in 1965. But I remember him a lot on the NBA. I'm an old Sixers fan, you know, and when the Irving teams used to go up against Bird Celtics, those were Dick Stockton broadcasts on CBS, and he was very good at it. But Lee knows that when I go on the Mad Dog, you know, at least once or twice a year, until this year, he would ask me how the Bucks are doing, and I'd say, I saw Dick Stockton 6 times. That tells you how they're doing. And, you know, we'd laugh about it because Buck fans would get Stockton and Mark Schlereth. I mean, you know, it is what it is. On a Fox broadcast, always at 1 o'clock. They're never, 4 o'clock. And that's what you get. Bucks, Panthers, 1 o'clock, Stockton and Schlereth. But I got to talk to Stockton a lot, guys, in the press box before games. He was always very gracious, nice man. Yeah, he lost his fastball a little bit down the stretch, but he had a hell of a career. But I'll always associate him with this 12-year playoff drought because, boy, Buck fans really got to know Dick Stockton way too much, Lee.
Unfortunately, most Bucks fans remember Dick Stockton as being a terrible announcer that wasn't put out the pasture soon enough. I remember Dick Stockton calling the Carlton Fisk home run in the 75 World Series, Ira?
75 World Series.
Which to this day, and I think with a lot of merit, you argue, is the most game six was the most overblown and overhyped game in World Series history.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Lee. I've said that about the Carlton Fisk homer. Will you shut up about the Carlton Fisk homer? They didn't win Game 7. Shut up. Could never understand it. I guess because he gestured, stay fair, the drama. Steve, they win Game 6 and they lose Game 7. Who cares about Carlton Fisk? I don't get that.
A little bit of trivia here for you about Dick Stock. I heard him. He did an interview this afternoon on Chris Russo's show, The Mad Dog, your buddy, and on Sirius Radio. And he was in the stands as a little boy for the Willie Mays catch. I don't know what World Series that was. They made the over-the-shoulder catch. He said he noticed a bunch of photographers taking pictures. He thought they were taking pictures of him. And he didn't, you know, he had like fifth row seats, him and his dad. And he's like, Dad, what are they taking pictures of me for? And he said, well, they're not. And he's like, what do you mean? Look at them. They're all shooting right at me. And he said, I want you to take a look behind you and see if you recognize anyone.
Don't tell me it was Marilyn Monroe.
So he turns around and he doesn't see anybody. And he says, no, I don't recognize the man. And his dad said, the guy they're taking pictures of, that's General Douglas MacArthur.
Ooh. Might be strong. Marilyn Monroe, Steve. Right, maybe.
Well, here's the Stockton line about the Bucks. He was talking to Russo. To his credit, he admitted he was no longer the announcer he once was. And he once was one of the top 10 announcers in the country.
Lee, how did he bring up the Bucks?
Well, Russo asked him. He said, what was your first NFL game that you called for CBS? He used to cover CBS games. Then he went to Fox. Fox took over the broadcast rights. And he actually said he remembered calling the game with Roger Staubach, but he doesn't remember the teams, which I found very odd. That tells me he's slipping big time. But he can't remember his first NFL game. But then he added this. He goes, Chris, I was at the point in my career where every game is big to me. I learned that. Whatever game you're calling, that's the big game. I didn't get the big games the last few years of my career. That's where I'm at. I'm at that point in my career where I don't get the quote-unquote big games. I don't get the Saints playing the Rams. I don't get the Buccaneers playing the Packers. That's what this past year has done for the Bucks. A legendary announcer, when thinking of the big games, mentions the Bucks playing.
Wow, that says it all, Stevie.
Just to throw my two cents in, for me, Stockton was the legendary voice of the NBA of the 80s and early 90s. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, just legendary. And for those still listening in the modern world of the NBA, he was paired with Hubie Brown somewhere around the late 80s, early 90s, and they were just phenomenal. And Brown is like 90 years old. He's still calling NBA games. As fans know, he's phenomenal. So Stockton is done. He was done a while ago, but now he's officially done.
Thankfully for Bucks fans, they're no longer cursed.
Final thought for Bucks fans, Ira?
Well, it's just been a fantastic offseason. I was thinking about this. You know, Lee, this might be the second best offseason in franchise history. You know what the best was? Last year, when Mr. Brady came to town. Yeah. How do you like that?
Well, Ira, real quick, what are your thoughts on this line? Colin Cowherd said yesterday on his FS1 TV show that the Bucks are drafting for depth because they have no need.
So, he must be listening to this podcast. He's got to be listening to this podcast because I said it. I think as recently as the last podcast is. It's the first time in my memory. They don't have a glaring need. And when you're talking about a third edge rusher, that's not glaring. You're talking about a depth piece on the offensive line, that's not glaring. It's the first time I could ever remember it, including the 03 Bucks, you know, who had Kenyatta Walker as one of the tackles. Everybody knew he wasn't going to, you know, pan out. They got by with them, but they needed to do better, and within a few years they did. But, no glaring weaknesses. I think Cowherd, you should give the Sage some credit when you say that.